Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This is Late Night. This is Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI. Boston Sports Talk for Insomniacs and the Graveyard Pack. Tonight, it's Mr. Overnight, Big Ben Maller. Let's get it going with Ben Maller. Late Night on Sports Radio WEEI.
Keep the line moving. That was the quote this week from Alex Cora, which all baseball managers spew, right? You got to keep the line moving, get the offense going. The Red Sox do that again after the very dark doubleheader where the Sox get stomped by the Tigers. They've come back now. They get the split, and we will talk about that a little bit here at the start. It is a mix of Red Sox review and late night. It is a wild and crazy night going. There's all kinds of stuff going on. It's too much. Typically there's like there's one or two things going on. We got like five different plates that we're juggling, which is a good problem to have because the NFL draft is dragging on tonight. Right now they are, I believe, at pick 18. The Vikings are on the clock for pick 18, and the Patriots have the 32nd pick. Unless they trade out of the 32nd pick. So we've got that. The Bruins game ended within the last 10 minutes. You heard there moments ago there, Charlie Coyle with the game-winning goal for the Bruins after tying the game in regulation. So the Bruins, who looked like they were about to lose game one at home, lose home ice advantage, and then in the last 5 minutes, Charlie Coyle, with less than 5 minutes to go, scores the game winner. And then the game winner in overtime after tying the game, I should say, in regulation. So, but as far as the Red Sox here, I got a couple of thoughts, and we'll take some calls on this. If you're leaving the Red Sox game tonight, or the Bruins game for that matter, you want to talk, we will open the phone lines up. I'm not going to do a full long-winded spiel here. But the number, 617-779-7937, since you just heard the Red Sox game, we should start with that. And Alex Cora's quote, which was keep the line moving, which is a standard baseball cliche, right? The locomotive. You want that unstoppable locomotive. You want everyone to continue to chip away at opposing pitchers. And the Red Sox had not done much of that early in the year, despite the many great resumes of the Red Sox offensively. They were spotty, very spotty on offense. But this last couple of games here against the Detroit Tigers, who are not going to end up with a very good record. The Tigers are destined to fall apart at some point. They've actually overachieved the first couple weeks of the baseball season, but the Tigers are not great, and the Red Sox, these are the kind of teams you fatten up with, and the Red Sox certainly blew an opportunity in the doubleheader. They had the rain out, then they blew the two games, but now you come back, 11-1 win on Wednesday, kept the line moving, as Alex Cora said. And in this game tonight, as you heard here on EEI, the Red Sox, they were all over Detroit Tiger pitching, a season-high 7 extra base hits. And that is what you call beating the pulp out of the Tigers. They only scored 7 runs, scored 11 runs in the game on Wednesday, but 7 runs in this game tonight. And Rick Porcello, who in baseball parlance will be remembered as having a quality start, not that this is a necessarily memorable game, right? It's a random Thursday in April when the Bruins are playing and you got the NFL draft. But Porcello was credited with a quality start, something he had not had up until this point. I didn't think he was particularly great, but he by baseball standards, he gets credited with a quality start. You also had offense from all over the place. Andrew Benintendi and Mookie Betts, they had two doubles apiece. The story here, though, which is still in the very early stages. Is it too early to say that Michael Chavis should be in the lineup every day? Well, it's never too early to say that because the Red Sox, if you look at second base and you say, well, that is a wasteland compared to some of the other positions that have players locked in. But Michael Chavis, his second career homer, And it was a shot that hit the light tower there for the Sox. And he's the one that got the offense going there in the second inning. Jordan Zimmermann, who was just terrible, just absolutely terrible for the Tigers. And it's amazing he didn't give up more runs. The Red Sox only scoring 7 in the game. But Zimmermann, who used to be good, not that he was prodigious with the Washington Nationals, but he's like an all-star level starting pitcher, and he went to the Detroit Tigers, and it's been pretty shaky here for him. But the Chavis, the home run off the light tower there in left field, and so that gave the Red Sox the early lead, and then Rick Porcello coughed it back off. And if you saw the game, you heard the game here, you know exactly what I'm talking about. But to me, it's very cut and dry here. Until Michael Chavis stops hitting, you put him in the lineup. I don't think that is that difficult a decision to make. I think you would be ignorant if you didn't do that, because the production, you know, you can, as they were talking about a little bit, I know on the television broadcast I was watching, they were yapping about how can you hide a second baseman. Is Michael Chavis good enough defensively? He's not really a second baseman, right? He was more of a third baseman based in the minor leagues and whatnot, but can you hide him at second base? Can you do that? Is that possible? But as long as he's hitting, then it would be stupid to not put him in the lineup. I mean, unless he is just an Ole defender and, you know, standing out there at second base going la 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 la, and the ball's going through his legs all the time and he's unable to turn a double play. If that's the case, well, I understand. But assuming he's just a mediocre or average defensive player and he doesn't fall asleep when he's out in the field, you got to put Michael Chavis in there. I think the offense, which has already got good players all over the place, the Red Sox on offense, but you can crank that up a little bit. And these guys have underachieved the first couple of weeks of the baseball season. They have not been physically dominant. This has not been a Paul Bunyan-like offense. It has been far from that. But if you put another accomplished hitter, not that he's per se accomplished at the major league level, because he's not. He's only been up for, he hit a couple of homers this week, but you got to put Chavis in there until something else happens. So we'll talk about the Red Sox. Now, Rick Porcello, let's focus in on Porcello here. He got a quality start. I didn't think Porcello was wonderful. He can certainly pitch better than this. He was 0-for-3 to begin the year coming into the game, and you saw the numbers. Had an ERA of 8.5 in 4 starts, and he did some tap dancing here. He had a very difficult, some would say horrible, third inning. But again, quality start and all that. He ended up going 6 innings. He allowed 3 runs and 6 hits. He ended up striking out 5 different Detroit Tiger hitters. And that is, you talk about a faceless group of players. I consider myself somewhat of a baseball guy. Like, I like baseball. I admit that. A lot of people don't like to admit that and all that stuff. And I like to think that I know a little bit about different teams around baseball. But that is an undistinguished, nondescript lineup that the Detroit Tigers send out. I know they got Mickey Cabrera, but you look at some of those other guys. I guess if you're polite, you'll say they're flying under the radar. You'll say that, but yikes, that is not good. But they've managed to play decently for the first couple weeks of the baseball season. That is for sure. The number, if you want to be part, 617-779-7937. Weather permitting now, the Red Sox will take on Tampa Bay starting on Friday night at Fenway with no starting pitcher. They're gonna bring someone based on all the reporting here. Someone from Pawtucket's going to get the start. There's a couple of opportunities there. They haven't announced who's going to get the start. We know Charlie Morton, the great Charlie Morton, will get the start for Tampa Bay in that game on Friday, assuming they have the game and it's not pushed back to a doubleheader or some kind of makeup game later in the year. But Charlie Morton, who pitched against the Red Sox and got some decent hacks against Charlie Morton, he will get the start there with a couple of wins on his resume and an ERA of over 3, which he's got decent numbers. Decent numbers, but again, not a guy that you look at and say, okay, this is going to be a problem. He's not a headliner or anything like that. He's been a decent pitcher. He's just not over the top great at this particular point. All right. Now, you can hit me up on Twitter if you want. You want to be part of the show on Twitter. That's at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller on Twitter if you don't want to stay on hold. And we will have the reading of the tweets, which is always always amusable. Or amusing, I should. Amusable. Is that a word? I think that's a word. Yeah. All right. And so now we await. We are anxiously awaiting. We still have to work our way through. I got the NFL draft going on. We got that going on as well. And we are at pick 19. So we still have probably another hour, maybe an hour and a half before the Patriots finally make their selection, assuming they don't trade out of the pick. It has been the early reviews of the draft. Well, it started with football negligence by the Arizona Cardinals taking Kyler Murray at 5'9" with the first pick in the draft, who is destined to be another one of those picks that is just a hot mess in the NFL. And we've had a run on defensive tackles, a parade of defensive tackles, and same things I said about the Detroit Tigers lineup. A number of players who are a bit of a mystery, an unknown quantity. Very bland. When you draft a lot of defensive tackles, not that you don't need defensive tackles, but it's not something that generates much conversation in the NFL draft, if you know what I'm saying. It's kind of like, oh, really? That's another defensive tackle. The other thing I noticed by monitoring the draft here is that the draft pundits, who there is no such thing as a bad pick. Every draft pick is celebrated and championed as, you know, every player is a hidden badass and is going to go on and have a great career in the NFL, and you know, worship and all that. Very, very rare, once in a blue moon, right? Once in a blue moon, they will come out and say, this guy's going to stink, this guy's going to be a bust and all that. But defensive tackles, there's only so many things you can say about defensive tackles. There's only so many cliches and platitudes you can say about these guys. So it becomes redundant, becomes repetitive, and how many times in NFL history has a defensive tackle been a cornerstone of a team? You need them. They're good to have and all that, but they don't typically become the anchors of your team. You know, it's not normally how it works. People just don't talk about defensive players all that much. It's all about offense. Offense, 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 and offense. And especially the way the NFL's going and all that with the nods. I don't know how many defensive tackles. Every time I look up, the Titans just drafted a defense. Every time I look up, there's another defensive tackle, a defensive end that has been picked. In the top 10, just the top 10 of the draft, you had a couple of quarterbacks. You had Daniel Jones keeping up with the Joneses, who went to the Giants out of Duke. And I guess we know who thought that Daniel Jones was the smartest quarterback since Peyton Manning. I guess it was the New York Giants, Dave Gettleman, the GM of the Giants. But yeah, Daniel Jones go to the Giants at number 6. Kyler Murray, the quarterback that's going to be a bust at number 1 to Arizona. And you had a tight end that snuck in to the top 10. The Lions, T.J. Hockenson from Iowa, was picked by the Lions at number 8. That was a surprise. But other than that, it's like defensive tackle, defensive end, parade of these guys. It's like a conga line of defensive tackles. The Raiders, they drafted a guy that many of these dopey mock drafts had the Patriots drafting at number 32. The Raiders took Cleland Furl. Cleland Furl out of Clemson. They took him with the number 4 pick in the draft. Now, did he really fall? You're drafted where you're supposed to be drafted, but the Raiders are being run by a couple of NFL draft nucks, John Gruden and Mike Mayock, who are in charge of the Raider front office, and they went completely off the board on that. Which, now, does that screw the Patriots because that's the guy that many thought the Patriots were going to draft, or B, does this help the Patriots because now they can get a guy who conceivably should have been drafted much higher because of the Raiders making this particular pick? And we've seen some trades. I mean, there's been a whole bunch. In every NFL draft, the Denver Broncos traded the 10th pick to Pittsburgh, so the Steelers got into the top 10. They drafted a linebacker, somebody named Devin Bush. And you go through these scouting guides, right? You go through all these scouting guides, and you know, every one of these players, oh, this guy's great, that guy's great, oh, my God, amazing, this guy's amazing. And okay. Like, I know the quarterbacks, I know a little bit, the receivers, the running backs, but did I sit there when I was – were you watching North Carolina State to find out how their offensive line was doing, or did you do a deep dive on the Mississippi State defensive line? Probably not. But that does not mean that we will not have amazing hot takes on all this. But again, the big headline here, we're juggling a lot of things. The Red Sox with the win tonight, and we'll talk about that if you leave the Red Sox game, as you leave the Red Sox game. The Bruins also win, so we're open for that as well. Charlie Coyle, the hero for the Bees, they get the jump on Columbus tonight in that series. 617-779-7937. We're also available on Twitter at Ben Maller. That's at Ben Maller. All right, admitting the obvious. Admitting the obvious. We're going to get to that, and we will do it next.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're locked into Late Night with Ben Maller on Sports Radio WEEI.
Hey, we've heard that since you were a little kid, you've always been very into style and fashion, right down to your shoelaces. Yeah. They had to match your clothes. So tell us about this look.
My favorite movie is The Great Gatsby. So if anybody out there has watched the movie, they know, you know, there's a scene where Leo's wearing the pink suit. So that's kind of where I got it from. You know, the green light, you know, for me is like a sense of hope and what's to come in the future. So Nike, y'all, I know y'all can't get this, but Nike, you know, they hooked me up with a draft day shoe, so it's pretty special.
Did he just say what I think I heard him say? The Great Gatsby?
What a horrible movie to have be your favorite movie.
Well, it's appropriate because this could be a horrible draft pick. In years from now, we will look back, we will point our fingers, we will laugh. Ha 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 ha. While Kyler Murray's playing in the Cal League, trying to work his way up to the Oakland Athletics. What a reach. Football negligence by the Arizona Cardinals to take this guy with the number one pick. And you're trying to get number one pick. You're trying to get what? You're trying to get a indispensable player, a leading character, key cog for your franchise, a keystone. But this is the keystone cops here for the Cardinals. And the Great Gatsby. I mean, my goodness, that is, as John Anderson said in our production meeting, producer John, that is a red flag. When you scouting a player, you should ask them what their favorite movie is. If they say The Great Gatsby, that is you put them undraftable. You circle their name. You say, I will not draft this particular player. I am not drafting someone for a fashion show. I am not doing, what is that? Bad job.
Well, that's also not true. Because do you see the outfit that I believe Devin Bush was in that the Steelers came up and got him?
No, I don't. What was that? Was that the I've had a overwhelm, my sensory overload, John, from the different outfits that have been. Which one was he wearing?
He looked like he was trying to be like almost like a pop star sort of thing, except it didn't fly because he's a giant football player. It was almost like this white satchel sort of thing, not satchel. I don't know the word for it, but it was draped over his right shoulder, and but the rest of the outfit was like a black suit, I guess. It was bad.
I saw one of the guys looked like he was dressed like Pee Wee Herman when he walked down the carpet there, and I was like, "What is going on here?" I mean, hey, good luck. That's a sign though. You don't look at the guys that are going to go bankrupt. You look around, you're like, "All right, this guy spent like $5,000 on a suit, or more, with all the jewelry and all that other stuff to wear." But man, all right. So some of the latest picks. We are yapping here. It's a mix. Show. We got the Red Sox game. We're yapping about that. The Bruins win tonight. Red Sox also won their game against the Tigers in the NFL draft. We are 11 picks away. The Packers just drafted someone named Darnell Savage. I don't know who that is. A safety out of Maryland with the 21st pick in the draft. So we still have our ways to go. We've had a couple of tight ends off the board. So if you're thinking the Patriots are going to take a tight end in the first round, they might, but they've already been two picked. Noah Fant, who had been tied to the Patriots in some of the mock drafts out of Iowa, he was drafted. And we mentioned earlier another player out of Iowa, two tight ends from Iowa, both selected in the first round. T.J. Hockenson, big giant tight end out of Iowa, went to the Lions. And so that we have a run. I say a run on tight ends because I don't recall usually too many tight ends going in the first round in recent years, but we've had two this year. All right, if you want to be part, the number, and we will open it up for your phone calls here. The number has not changed. It is the same. The number 617-779-7937. Also available on Twitter at Ben Maller. And to the phones we go. Let's say hello to David, the keeper of the parrot, who's in Florida. Let's see here. Let's see what David's talking to someone else here. Let's see what kind of conversation David's having with someone else as he realizes he's on the radio, the live magic radio box.
Hand floating near the dump button.
Yeah. Let's see here. Let's see, David, he's moving around. Now, he did call in. Let's see here. What do you think he's doing? You think he's feeding his stuffed animal parrot? You think he's got that going on?
Yeah, the big reveal of the Ben Maller meetup is that the parrot is not real.
Shocking revelation. Yeah.
That's okay, clearly that's you can Roscoe. Hear us. David, that's David, Roscoe on the air.
David, that's where's Roscoe the parrot, David? Do we have Roscoe?
Are you there?
No, I stepped out for a smoke. I'm not. Where am I going to go? what am I going to do here? I am locked in. I'm not here. Ben stepped out. It's Wayne from Southie.
Are you there, Ben?
No, I'm not. No, I'm not here, David. I am not.
Good evening, Ben.
Hello, David.
Listen, I'm on my way home from a fucking watch party in Winter Park. So,
it sounds like torture.
I could have gone to Tampa, but a little bit too far out. Let me do it real quick and shorten to the point.
Yeah.
I want to give my condolences to all the Celtic fans for the passing of John Havlicek.
Yes, a legend, right. And very sad.
Right, and here's a little-known fact. Bobby Knight was a teammate of Hondo in the, I think, the 1963 NCAA title championship that the Buckeyes had. I think it was in 1963. So,
is that a fun fact or just a fact, David? That might be just
that's
a fact.
That's a fact on Wikipedia. And number two.
On Wikipedia.
I know the attack you've been getting lately on the Case Smith controversy. Let me tell you something, Ben.
Yeah.
I got your back. I mentioned that a couple of nights ago on your Twitter handle.
Well, number thank you. Now you have my back, David, but does Roscoe the Parrot have my back also?
Yes, he does. And
he does.
He's a Trump supporter.
Oh, he is. Number, I didn't know.
I got over 1,000 grassroots Trump supporters follow me at my Twitter page.
Don't start promoting. How come every one of my callers wants to promote their own Twitter page? What's up with that?
No. And my baseball games are going good. I had another winner today with Eric.
You have been doing good, David. I will give you credit. I've been monitoring your picks, David. You've actually been pretty good giving out picks. So you're way ahead, which is good.
$1,300.
That's not bad.
And as far as the NFL draft is concerned, I'm going to say this real quick, Ben.
Yeah.
You cannot really judge how good a team draft can be. It takes about 3 years.
No, David. That's a bad job by you. On my overnight show, I did what I do every year of the draft. I go back 5 years, David, because 5 years, you're supposed to wait 5 years, executives say. And I went back and I did the 2014 draft. And out of the 2014 draft, how many players in that draft 5 years later became first-team all-pro players? Out of the – there were, you know, 7 rounds of draft picks, 250 picks essentially in the draft. The answer is 4. That's it. So all this talk about how great these players are going to be in the NFL draft, I'll be the voice of reason here. Out of these picks in the first round, the entire draft – there are probably 4, maybe 5, maybe 6 players that will end up all pro first team players in the NFL.
And what you are absolutely correct. As usual, Benjamin, last thing.
Yes. All right. Oh, no, not the one last thing. I got to hang up on you, David, because I have a rule. And John Anderson, because he met the Maller Militia. John was documenting. He was videography guy. John Anderson, and you met the Maller Militia, but I have a rule, the one more thing never ends well. One more thing is wrong and bad and negative, like 90% of the time.
Right, it's like the old Douglas Adams line from The Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. It's like the man who, walking away from a losing argument, whips around and says, and another thing.
Yeah, exactly. You got to admit defeat, and you just got to He's got to move on. 617-779-7937. As we will take more of these phone calls, Robbie and some other people want to talk about the Bruins. We'll do that as well. We'll also get to admitting the obvious. We have that on our list. And here's the Who Am I game in honor of the NFL draft, the theme with the draft and all that stuff. Now, Irving Fryer has the Patriots franchise record for receptions, right, for players that were drafted by the Patriots. He's got the franchise record for the most receptions. I am second all-time behind Irving Fryer in franchise receptions. Who am I? This should be easy. You should know this right away. But who am I? If you know the answer, go to Twitter, at Ben Maller. We'll give you the answer, and we work our way closer to the Patriots. We're on pick number 23 right now. Patriots close out the first round of the draft with pick number 32. We'll get to that, and we will do it next.
Ben Maller rocks late night now on Sports Radio WEEI.
With the fourth pick in the 2019 NFL Draft, the Oakland Raiders select Cleveland Terrell, defensive end, Clemson.
Todd, the board seems pretty wide open for the Bucs at this point. What do you think?
I'm still recovering from that pick. I thought Mike Mayock, the GM for the Raiders, was supposed to be the rudder for John Gruden. But they reached for Cleveland Farrell there, and it provides potentially some opportunity here for Tampa Bay.
All right, so that is the coverage there. Cleveland Farrell, that's the first. Well, I wouldn't say it's the first big surprise, because Kyler Murray being drafted number one, not exactly an intimidating presence at the quarterback position, but Cleveland Farrell, who Roger Goodell called Farrell, like Scott Farrell or something like that. Anyway, Cleveland Farrell, who was the defensive tackle, who some had going to the Patriots, the scouting report on him from his days at Clemson, he is not overly fast or overly strong. And that's the guy they drafted with the number four overall pick, which isn't the, now maybe I'm wrong on this and you can correct me, but the number four overall pick in the draft, you'd get a top five pick. You're supposed to get the Adonis. You're supposed to get the beefcake type guy, and you can get players who are not that strong. You can get players that are not very fast later in the draft. You don't have to get them with the number four pick. That guy was productive. He was very effective at Clemson, but that's the guy that some thought the Patriots were going to try to get at number 32, and he goes number four. Number four. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Oh, my God, the drama, the human emotion. Anyway, we are continuing here. It is late night mishmash with Red Sox review. Red Sox win tonight. The Bruins win tonight. They knock off Columbus, so the Bruins get to jump in that series. The NFL draft going on. We are still awaiting the 32nd pick. The Raiders have the number 24 pick. They are on the clock. Last I checked here, I've got the draft up on the monitor. Got to pay off the Who Am I game, and then we'll get right back to the phone calls. Here's the Who Am I game. Irving Fryer. Irving Fryer was the Patriots. He holds the Patriots franchise record for receptions. I am second all-time. Who am I? That is the question. What's the answer? Many believe the Patriots are going to be drafting in the first couple days here a wide receiver, because they certainly have some challenges at the wide receiver position. Let's see here. What is the answer? We have Jack Concannon from Rob I Am. Dominic Easley was guest. Mike from the LBC listing on the radio.com app. He is going with Troy Brown. Who else do we have here? Tripp. Good guy. We met Tripp at the Maller Palooza. He said Lexus from the Orchids of Asia Day Spa is the answer. Who else? Tony's going with Troy. Brown says he knows football as well. Actually, the correct answer, not Troy Brown, in terms of actual receptions, it is Terry Glenn. Terry Glenn is number two. Irving Fryer, number one. He has 851 receptions as a Patriot. Terry Glenn with 593, which is enough to still edge out Troy Brown. I didn't mention yardage. I said receptions. And Terry Glenn, number two in Patriots history. All right, to the phones we go, and let's see, where shall we go? Let's say hello to Robbie, who's in New Hampshire, and Robbie's next on Sports Radio WEEI. Hello, Robbie.
Hey, man, what's going on? How are you?
Robbie, all right. You're very serious, Robbie. All right, man. Hanging out, watching the draft, man. I'm talking on the radio here. I got a lot of stuff going on. Yeah.
Just wanted to say, like, Big fan of the show. First time caller.
Oh, thank you, Robbie. I appreciate it. Very kind of you to say that, Robbie. And you know you're going to get more airtime when you say that. You know I'm going to give you plenty of time to yap away. What is on your mind tonight, Robbie?
I just think the Bruins somehow managed to get that one done. I mean, I feel like lately, even if they haven't been playing well through the stretch, you know, they still find a way to get things done. Tuukka didn't have as big of a game as he had Toronto the other night, but still found a way, and I wonder what your opinion on that was.
Well, I had the game on, Robbie, but I thought they were losing. When it got down to like 5 minutes to go and they were still trailing by a goal, I said, that's it? They're going to lose? I thought they'd lose 2-1. Maybe they give up an empty net goal, lose 3-1. So I was stunned that they were able to come back the way they did. And then when the game goes to overtime, my mindset, I am programmed from watching hockey in the playoffs generally over the years. When a game goes to overtime, I thought, oh, man. This is going to be like a two-hour thing. They're going to go five overtimes or something like that. And then Charlie Coyle ends it like 5 minutes in the overtime. So it was perfect because I was thinking this thing's going to go on all night. I was of course, worried about myself, Robbie, because I was like, I got to do a radio show tonight. I'm going against the Bruins game and the NFL draft.
Yeah.
I mean, that's like career suicide. But fortunately, Coyle helped me out there. So my fears were not realized. So.
Yes, sir. I was just wondering what you thought about chances in the series and hang up and let you talk about it.
All right. What did he say, Joe? I couldn't. The phone broke. Their chances in the series. Well, they should win this. They have home ice advantage. If that's what you asked, Robbie, I don't know. The phone cut out.
No, he wanted to know about Josh Jacobs.
Yes. Let's go to John Anderson for more info on that. John?
The Raiders just picked him, Ben. That's the update.
There you go. That's the big update. Massive, massive news from the NFL draft. Wake up the family. Wake up the family. That's right.
And coming up at, 12:30, Ben and I will give final standings for this upcoming season based on the first round.
Yes. Yes. So I'm a bit of a surly mood. I will explain why I'm in a surly mood here coming up in a little bit. If you would like to be part, though, the number is 617-779-7937, and you can be part of the show. So I mentioned admitting the obvious. I want to go back to the Red Sox here. Now, the Red Sox win tonight against the Tigers, and Rick Porcello, he was not great, but he got credited with a quality start. To me, 6 innings and 3 runs is not great. That's not good. You don't get excited about that, but it's unmemorable, right? It is, but by baseball standards, at least in a couple years ago, that was something to be happy about. But anyway, so Alex Cora, before the game and the pregame festivities with the media and all that, he was waxing poetic about the Red Sox and his situation and when the team's not going well, what do you do, and all that stuff. And Cora said something which is Captain Obvious type stuff. Cora said that he had contemplated getting thrown out of a game to try to inspire, or I think the word he used was jumpstart, the Red Sox, that he thought about doing this the other day. And then in a throwaway line, he said, well, I realized that nobody would pay for the fine, and he says he thought better of it. Now, the reason this is Captain Obvious, because it is in every manager's handbook, right, that if your team's going through a dark patch, and you're not doing very well, you as the emotional, inspirational leader of the Red Sox, you have to, or any team, if you're the manager, you have to have the versatility. You have to be adaptable enough to have a meltdown to try to light a fire on a team. So like he said that, it's kind of obvious. I'm assuming that every manager who's ever been in Major League Baseball at one point or another will have done that or has done it. And then also, of course, it's something else that I saw. I think it was he did an interview on satellite radio, Red Sox. The Red Sox last year setting all kinds of franchise records for wins. It was a chorus of runs. It was an overwhelming ensemble effort of offense and pitching, very communal effort by the Red Sox last year. And there was no cat and mouse game. They ran out. It was a boat race situation. This year has been much different, and Alex Cora's quote was, last year was like Disney World. He said this year is, he said real baseball is what he said, real baseball. Although I would argue that the first, like, West Coast road trip the Red Sox went on, that was not real baseball. That was real bad baseball. That was, man, that was a lethal combo of terrible pitching, no hitting, not only no timely hitting, just no hitting. Very generic, mundane baseball by the Red Sox. But they're coming around a little bit. 5.5 back with Tampa Bay coming in this weekend, and you have just as good a chance of pitching for the Red Sox as anybody else because they do not have a starting pitcher. Price is going to go. David Price is going on Saturday, and so the Red Sox will have to call somebody up. They have to make a roster move for – at least that's the expectation. They're going to make a roster move before the game on Friday, but they might not have to. I guess the best-case scenario here for the Red Sox is if you're looking at roster juggling and all that, game gets rained out Friday night, no game, then you don't have to worry about it, assuming there's not a doubleheader over the weekend. Tampa Bay comes back several times, right, because of the American League East and all that. You play Tampa Bay a bunch, so you have other options, whereas the Tigers, you got to get that game in. That's why they played the doubleheader. Anyway, again, we'll take your message on Twitter as well, at Ben Maller, if you want to be part of the show that way. That's at Ben Maller. You can join the festivities. It is NFL draft night. And I love when people check in to announce they're doing the first, their Maller Marathon, the full thing, going on and all that stuff. People demanding that I do not welch on a bet. Well, I will address that here, and I'll address that obviously later on the overnight show, but I'll address it here because I did make some very bold statements, some accurate statements about the NFL draft, the number one pick in the NFL draft, which went to Arizona and Kyler Murray, which is one of the dumbest picks I have seen and will be remembered. The entire Cardinal front office is going to lose their job. The coaching staff, Cliff Kingsbury, will end up back in college or he'll be an offensive coordinator somewhere. All of this is going to take place, and it's going to be directly related to this particular selection. That's how that's going to go down. So, anyway, and the Patriots pick should be, the way I'm looking, I think within the next half hour. Am I right on that, John Anderson? Because I'm looking at the draft here. The Ravens are on the clock at number 25. And so we've only got to get through seven more picks. So I'm thinking around the next half hour or so we should have the Patriots pick.
Yeah, that seems right to me. Yeah, the Ravens pick is in. So we've got Colts, Raiders, Chargers, Seahawks, Rams, and then Patriots coming up.
Yeah. Now the ultimate would be you anticipate, you count down waiting for the pick. And as you've been saying for the last couple of days, John, then the Patriots, right while they're on the clock, announce they have made a trade, and they're trading out of the first round.
Hey, well, you know what happened last year. Lamar Jackson on the board at 32. Ravens come back up and get him. Drew Lock has not been selected yet.
So you think someone will trade with the Rams at 31 to get Drew Lock?
No. I think somebody, if he makes it past the Raiders and the Chargers, somebody's coming up and grabbing him.
The Seahawks have back-to-back picks. They have 29 and 30. So Seattle's got two. You don't want to have back-to-back picks, do you? That's kind of annoying to have back-to-back picks and all that. I would think that would be annoying. I don't know. It has happened many times in NFL history. It's happening again tonight unless Seattle trades one of those picks. So, anyway, it's a paralysis of analysis watching these NFL draft gurus analyzing everything and slicing it all up and all that. And I do love the team needs. Everyone's got different most of these scouting reports where they say, wow, the Chargers, they need help. They need help at the offensive line or something like that. They go through the list. Or the Patriots, here's what they need. They need help at the defensive line, tight end, wide receiver, safety, offensive line, and all. They go through a whole list. And then teams will end up drafting somebody who doesn't fit any of those particular slots.
And there go the Ravens selecting a position that they can't get the ball to with their quarterback.
Yeah, well, the Ravens run a throwback offense. The Ravens run an offense that is archaic, right? Because Lamar Jackson is a running quarterback. That's what he is. That's until and good luck all of a sudden learning how to throw in the NFL. Yeah, so that's going to be another hot mess. We saw what Lamar Jackson did most of the game against the Chargers in the playoff game last year. And wait till that becomes a weekly occurrence, though. But yeah, but they drafted Marquise Brown, a wide receiver out of Oklahoma, who I believe was the first receiver taken, right? I think that's the first first receiver went number 25.
Antonio Brown's cousin. He's the one from Florida that they call Hollywood Brown.
Yeah. Does he have the same wardrobe? Does he have the same...
Hair looks like it's headed in that direction as the Antonio Brown hairstyle.
Has he already
maybe
demanded...
Maybe when he gets some more green, then maybe he'll be... He's got a gold chain on, so...
Has he demanded a trade yet? Has he asked for a...
Will be when they... When
that
the,
looks
when
like
the
a
Cuban
catcher's mask.
Doesn't
that, is that a football helmet or a catcher's mask he's got? Probably a football helmet. Why would he have a catcher's mask? It doesn't make a lot of sense. But it looked from a lot of bling bling. We're going to find out how much that chain is worth. I'm guessing it's not fake jewelry. I'm guessing that's actual real jewelry that he's got. That's like a old school... Here's an old school reference before your time, John. Mr. T. Do you even know who Mr. T is?
Oh, I know who Mr. T is, yeah.
Yeah. That's like that kind of a... Oh, it's a football player. That's... Boy, that's, I don't know. It's not my taste, hey. Not my taste at all. We'll have much more on this. Talk about the Bruins win tonight, the passing of John Havlicek, Celtic legend, just revered. Everyone that met John Havlicek just could not say enough wonderful things about John Havlicek. And that's real. They said this before he passed. Well, you know, when people die, people say wonderful things about you. You become a saint when you die. But John Havlicek, while he lived, people just could not say what a wonderful statesman he was for the Celtics. And while he wasn't the greatest player in Celtic history, because that was Bill Russell or Larry Bird or somebody like that, John Havlicek was a central part of Celtics basketball and the aura that the Celtics have from all that success. And Havlicek was part of so many of those great Celtic teams in his heyday in the NBA, and he passed away. We'll actually have a statement from the Celtics. We'll get to that. We'll have more on the NFL draft as we press on. The massive night of radio. This is a great night for Sports Talk Radio. We'll get to all that, and we will do it next.